You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the United Stand. Happy Monday morning. And on today's show, we have Casemiro replacements. Manchester United are now seeking a Casemiro replacement for next summer. And another name has come up on the list that we haven't talked about yet. And it's a very, very, very exciting name that I would get excited about. And I want to bring it in and see how you guys feel about it. And also get your opinions on the midfield situation, as there's more news coming in from really good sources about Maynou potentially going to Brighton and then Belaba coming to Manchester United. But could there be a world where Maynou goes on loan to Brighton in January, they play together, and then they both come to Manchester United in the summer? That would be the dream, wouldn't it? Or would it be? Some people have gone off the idea of Belaba. We're going to talk about that. Roy Keane has had some strong comments of Manchester United and telling them what they should do regarding Adam Wharton. He's another name that is on the list from Manchester United. So many midfielders, and Manchester United right now, what they will be doing is planning their summer. This is the time where you start planning your summer. So these are all going to be players that Manchester United are looking at and beginning to make contacts with. Thomas Tuchel has named Elliot Anderson and Declan Rice as his starting midfielders currently, and they need to be displaced. Manchester United, very, very strong links to Elliot Anderson still. Probably only going to sign two, but could there be a possibility that we sign three? And also, a little bit more coming in on Casemiro as well, the possibility of him staying. Joshua Zirkzee, some more interest from Italy. I've also got another striker to talk about that is on the radar now that I want to bring in, a striker that's been doing very, very well in the international break, and a left back that Manchester United have been looking at as well. A left back is being targeted from Germany. We'll bring him in. And there's even more. Thomas Frank having interviews for the Manchester United job. Are you happy we didn't go for Thomas Frank? Do you wish we had have gone for Thomas Frank? He had an interview for the Manchester United job. Erik ten Hag, when he departed, Thomas Frank could have been the Manchester United manager. Are you happy we went towards Ruben Amorim, or would you rather have gone for Thomas Frank? Welcome, everybody. We've got so much Manchester United news to get into. I am Beth Tucker, and I'm here to give it to you, that news, and you get your comments in as well. Sorry for being like three minutes late. Literally, the roads this morning. absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. I set off in so much time and still the traffic was just mental. If you're in Manchester or I don't know wherever you are, maybe the traffic's bad for you right now as well, let me know. But thank you everyone for getting your comments in. Stay with us, get interactive. But let's get into the first bit of news. So it is that Kobbie Mainoo is being eyed up by Brighton. Now, I spoke about this last week. There was murmurs about Kobbie Mainoo going to Brighton last week, mainly coming out from sources down south around the coastline, Brighton. That is where it was coming from then, but now it's just started to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And Kobbie Mainoo does sort of strike you as a midfielder that Brighton would be interested in. When I spoke about it early last week, I said that for me, I think Kobbie Mainoo, if it was a permanent move, would probably want a club that is going to be competing for European football in the Champions League, potentially. I think that's where he could see himself. I know he's only young. I know he's only 20. But he has played in a major competition for England, a major final for England. He was a massive part of Manchester United's success in the FA Cup. He was a massive part of Manchester United's side under Erik ten Hag. Ruben Amorim doesn't fancy him, but that automatically doesn't make him a bad player. Sometimes coaches just prefer different attributes from different players. So Kobbie Mainoo, I think, would probably have his eyes set on a move to a club that can compete in European football. But if it was a loan from January until the summer and he's going to get game time, then I think he'd absolutely jump at the opportunity. I don't know Kobbie Mainoo. I don't know his family. I don't know his entourage. However, the message that we keep getting is he just wants to play football. He doesn't want to leave Manchester United. He hopes there's a future at Manchester United, but he wants to play football. Brighton is going to get the opportunity. He'd also be playing with Carlos Baleba if we can't get Baleba in January. That could be the best of both worlds for Manchester United, because you can see how Mainoo and Baleba play together. That could be a partnership we want to bring in to Manchester United. But also, you get to see Mainoo actually play Premier League football week in, week out, and see what he's about. He might put himself in a position where Ruben Amorim can't ignore him for any longer. If he performs how I expect him to perform, which is at a really good level, could be a great opportunity for him. Brighton's not a club that's going to get relegated. Brighton's not a club that's also going to be winning the Champions League. It's a competitive Premier League club that's fighting for a top 10 finish most years. And they're an exciting team. They've got some exciting players. They play good football. I would honestly love to see Kobbie Mainoo there if it was a loan. And I think we should loan him as well. I don't know what you guys think. I think we should loan him. I definitely don't want him to go on a permanent. I've said it multiple times on the show. I feel like a broken record at this point. I don't want him to go on a permanent deal, because if he did go on a permanent deal, I think we'd be losing out on a huge asset for cheaper than what we could potentially get for him, because his value is probably quite low right now in the grand scheme of things, because he's not playing football and he's not showing his worth. He's not really been playing regular football since Ruben Amorim came in. So in that aspect, we're not going to get the most amount of money for him. But also, like I've said on multiple shows, he's 20 years old. There's so much more to come from Kobbie Mainoo and what he showed in his early parts of his career. I mean, people are talking about him being golden boy. People are putting him in the same category as Pedri and Xavi. Like, people were talking about him in that way. And suddenly, since Ruben Amorim's come in, he's just barely got a look and he's not been able to get going. So I think you'd be getting way under his value. I think we'd be losing a big asset as well. We have no one who can play in that midfield that's as press resistant as he is and can do the things that he does. He's got a super high ceiling at 20 years old. Like, Bruno Fernandes and Casemiro, they're both over 30. Kobbie Mainoo is 20. He's got so much ahead of him. Some players haven't even broke through by that point. So I wouldn't want to lose him because of that. However, getting him out on loan to play football is absolutely what this guy needs, because he needs to show the world what he's about. Look, I get Manchester United can get injuries. I understand you want to keep a squad. But what's more beneficial for Manchester United? Kobbie Mainoo playing 10 minutes here and there because we've only got one game a week, or going out there and getting the opportunity to play games, getting minutes under his belt, getting himself match fit? Because he's probably not even match fit right now. He can do all the training he wants at Carrington, but if you're not playing regular football, you won't be Matt Sharp going out there and showing what he can do. Because if Ruben Amorim does decide in the summer, he's really just not my type of player. I'm sorry, guys. I know he's doing really good for Brighton, but he just doesn't fit the way I want to play. A lot of us would be sat here gutted. You know, he's come through the academy. He knows exactly what Manchester United is about. You need players like that in your team. And we all love him the way he plays. Not, I can't speak for everyone, but the majority of us love the way he plays when he's firing. If he does really well and Ruben Amorim just still holds his hands up and says, do you know what, guys? I am sorry, but he's just not my type of player. I know he's doing really well at Brighton, but I just don't fancy him in that midfield. He doesn't suit my setup. His value has gone like this because he's going out there week in, week out in the Premier League and producing. So he's increasing his value, even if we do decide to part ways in the summer. But then if he does really well and Ruben Amorim wants to use him, that's even better. Because then Ruben Amorim actually takes luck and he goes, I've not been able to play him that much. Because Ruben Amorim has even said himself, Kobbie Mainoo is training and deserves to play more football, but he only has one game a week and he doesn't want to take the players out that's currently in the team because he thinks they're doing well. So he is even saying himself he wishes he could play Kobbie Mainoo more. People will say, oh, he's just saying that to keep him happy or it's just PR. But he said that, so I'm going to take it face value, his words. So if Kobbie Mainoo goes and gets that game time, then it could set him up for a really good pre-season. I doubt he's going to end up going to England, but you never know. If he did do really well from January to summer, he might go to England. So then he gets a full pre-season if he doesn't go to England under his belt with Ruben Amorim. And with the likes of Bruno potentially departing next season or in the summer, with Casemiro, we'll get into that soon, looking like he's going to depart in the summer. United might try and offer him a contract, but looks like he's going to depart. Kobbie Mainoo could be in a situation where his confidence is sky high because he's gone to Brighton, he's done really, really well on a loan move, and he's been doing it in the likes of the Premier League where people are watching every single week. I know people do watch other leagues, but...
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
When you are following Manchester United, you are more likely to be watching Premier League football just because Manchester United have played in the Premier League more regularly. So he's got all eyes on him. His confidence is through the roof. He then will get a full pre-season with Ruben Amorim to impress him. And then he could have a real, real shot having a super successful season next season for Manchester United, especially if we end up in Europe. Because if we end up in Europe, he will be used. He's too good not to use. So I think what is better for Kobbie Mainoo? Sitting on the bench, getting stale, not being fully match sharp, having 10 minutes to impress here and there where you can't fully get into the game, or going out there and showing yourself. It's a loan. He will come back if it is a loan. I would love it to be a loan. I don't want to do a permanent. I've said that multiple times. And then the cherry on top of the cake is this. I mean, you never know. Manchester United might really push hard to get Carlos Baleba in January. I very much doubt Brighton will let that happen, because Brighton always play hardball and they're really, really strong in terms of negotiations. And I don't think Manchester United want to go and drop a ridiculous amount of money in January when Baleba has had a bit of a shaky start to the season. They want to get his true value, and that will be determined at the end of the season, hopefully. So if Baleba stays at Brighton and then he's playing with Kobbie Mainoo week in, week out, you've got a situation there where your two potential starting midfielders could be playing together from January until the summer. And then Baleba's not going to the World Cup. Sadly, I'm gutted for Mbeumo, because I think he deserves to go and play in a World Cup, but he's not going to the World Cup. So you could get him in and have a full pre-season. Kobbie Mainoo, if he really impresses Thomas Tuchel, might take him, but he's got so many midfielders to pick from. So with that short amount of time, I think he'd struggle to get in. So you could have a situation where your two potential starting midfielders for Manchester United next season have both got a full pre-season under the belt, have already played together for half of a season and got chemistry. And that could set Manchester United up really strongly, really nicely, in the middle of the pitch to progress into next season. Because how many times do we enter a season where we're not ready? Players haven't played together yet. Players are coming in late in the window. If Baleba isn't going to the World Cup, there's no excuse to not get that done early. And then he could have already even played with Mainoo. And you go into a situation where you have Bruno and Casemiro, who are very good, experienced players, but are slowing down a little bit now. Although Bruno was fantastic in the international break, and Casemiro has been really good this season, but they are slowing down. They're not going to be able to do it forever. Both over 30, passing the baton on to a Mainoo and a Baleba, who are both in the young 20s, but have a really good opportunity to go and have a successful season from the start because of all of the preparation that's gone into it. My dad has always said this to me, and I stand by it now. Fail to prepare, prepare to fail. Mainoo and Baleba will have been fully prepared if all of them steps that I've just spoken about happen. And I think that is what I'd be pitching to Manchester United now if I was there. I'd be saying, look, it's a lot of ifs and buts, because Mainoo has to perform, you know, but Hirschler has to play Mainoo and Baleba together. Loads of things have to happen for this to work. But what's worth it more to you? Having a bit of depth that Amorim has basically made it quite clear that Kobbie Mainoo is his last choice midfielder currently. He said he'd play Mason Mount there. We've got one game a week. Our injury record's been quite good throughout the season. If it was me, I'd be playing Mainoo more. But Amorim has made it clear through substitutions that Mainoo literally is right now his last choice midfielder. Get him out there playing football and you could be set up in a really nice position for next season. Not every player at 20 years old is the finished product. Mainoo had a really good breakout onto the scene at 18, but Amorim's made it, maybe brought him back down to earth a little bit, made him work really hard. This loan could be the making of him. And then Amorim has shown you always get an opportunity. Casemiro was behind Toby Collier. Amorim's words himself, behind Toby Collier that had just come through the academy, right, into the first team. He was playing a bit of football under Ten Hag, but not too regular. And Casemiro, who has won multiple Champions League, been one of the best CDMs that we've ever seen in the game, and, you know, has won everything at Real Madrid, he's just got a star-studded career and a huge trophy cabinet that his wife has literally showed off on her story when she was trying to defend him when he was playing poorly for Manchester United. Amorim said he was behind Toby Collier. Now I would argue Casemiro is one of the first names on the team sheet for this season. So you always get an opportunity under Ruben Amorim. So Mainoo's got to remember that. Amorim showed that. He's made an example of Casemiro. You know, a serious, serious pro he's made an example of. And he's shown to everybody, you don't think you've got a chance? Casemiro was behind Toby Collier. You've got a chance. So if Kobbie Mainoo goes out there and smashes it, I could seriously see him being one of the starting midfielders for Manchester United next season. But Manchester United have got to allow him to go. I know Amorim might not want him to go because as a manager, you always want the most amount of options. You always want depth just in case of injuries or anything like that. But I think United should take that risk. And I think they should let him go and play football, bring him back, bring Belaba back in the summer. And, you know, it could be really good for Manchester United. That is if Belaba picks up form as well. There's a lot of different factors in this, but get your thoughts down in the comments what you think. I'm going to come to the comments now because I really want to know what you guys are thinking on this. I've just gone absolutely off on one there, but I read that this morning and I thought, Mainu and Belaba playing together, hello, yes, a bit of that. So let me know what you think. We've got quite a few comments coming in. A few people wondering where Goldbridge is as well. Goldbridge is heading off on his holidays, so he's having a little bit of a break. He'll still be doing shows here and there, but he's on his holidays and I think it's very well deserved. The money that he raised for charity at the weekend, just absolutely phenomenal. Thank you to everybody who was involved on that. Streaming for 12 hours across the United Stand, and that's football. It was just fantastic to witness that, and it happens every year. So I think a well-deserved break after raising all that money for a brilliant cause. You've got Ian Tracy saying, Mainu needs regular football. If we loaned him, I'd be tempted to recall Toby Collier. He doesn't have Mainu's potential, but he would give depth. With that, I wouldn't be recalling Toby Collier. He's doing pretty good, so I wouldn't be recalling him. I think we've got enough. I think we've got Ugarte there. You've got Mount who can play there. We're playing one game a week. You've got to recognise we are playing one game a week. Bruno Fernandes literally never, ever, ever gets injured. So for me, it would be a no on recalling Toby Collier. We've got Justin Law Lloyd saying, overhyping Cobby. He had a great year with Erik ten Hag, did well for England, and he got burned out. Relying on kids is crazy work. We need players that are ready now, which is why I'd send him on loan and then bring him back when he's done that work. So that's, yeah. Some people maybe don't think he's got the capabilities and he maybe just had a good year, but I really don't think you can write a player off that has done what he did at that age and is consistently impressing in training and was consistently spoken about as being one of the best academy products to come out of Carrington in a long time. So I wouldn't write him off. Smash a like on the video, everyone. Let me know your thoughts, though. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. And I want to move on to more midfielders. Actually, no, I want to bring in this first about Belaba from Fabrizio Romano. Actually, I want to run a poll on this. Would Belaba still be your first choice midfielder for the summer? Yes or no? I want to run a poll. Would Belaba still be your first choice midfielder for the summer? Yes or no? I want to know what people are thinking and feeling about that. So Fabrizio has said this. It was August here on the channel. I told you Manchester United wants Carlos Belaba. Belaba wants to go to Manchester United. The conversation with the players and his agents was very good. But at Brighton, at that time in August, they didn't want to sell the player. In January, it's likely to be a difficult deal. The Belaba one, because Brighton insist on not selling the player. But for the summer, unless the stance changes for January, we have to see what happens. But for the summer, let's say for 2026, Manchester United, for sure, will see Carlos Belaba as a priority target. I gave you a video last summer saying Belaba will remain a target if the deal doesn't happen now. And Man United want to insist on a deal in 2026. And that remains the case. Man United still want Belaba. Belaba is still very keen on a move to Manchester United, even more so now they are doing very well in the Premier League. So Belaba wanted to come to Manchester United even when we weren't in Europe. Now he's even more excited, according to Fabrizio, because it looks like we're doing better and we could be fighting for a European place, even a Champions League place, where we are in the league at the moment. It's very, very open and, you know, 5 games unbeaten, we're doing pretty well. Still early days, but he's even more excited. Man United are still persisting. And I don't know how I feel about this, to be honest, because I won't spend too long on this because we've got so much more to get into, but last year, I would have been all over this like there's no tomorrow. I would have been all over this like an ice cold, I was going to say, do you know what? I'll say it. An ice cold cider on a warm summer's day in a beer garden. Love it. I would be all over it because Belaba was fantastic. Fantastic. But this season, there has been a few red flags that have creeped into my mind. Are you able to...
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Think about the last time you had a cancel subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Sustain the weight of a United shirt when you put it on, because you will get criticized every week if you don't perform, and it'll be headlines all over. You'll be spoken about in the media, the fans will be talking about you. It's huge. If you do really well, the same thing will happen. You will get praise left, right and center. You'll be held up on a pedestal as being one of the best midfielders in the world, and everyone will love you. That's what Manchester United does. It's hated, adored, never ignored. It's extremism, because we're so big. When things are going badly, there'll be a massive magnifying glass on you. When you're doing really well, you'll be held up high. So can you sustain that pressure? Because you didn't get your move in the summer, and suddenly, you know, the player is unrecognisable, in my opinion, from where he was. I know he's young, but that is a little bit of a red flag. And for everyone saying, oh, Mainoo just had a good year, did Belabor just have a good year last year? And he wasn't even doing what the likes of Mainoo was doing. And Mainoo was on a different planet when he first came onto the scene and was doing what he did for Erik ten Hag. So for me, there are a few doubts. However, Man United clearly are staying strong on this, and they feel like they've scouted the right player for Amorim. They want to continue on that. And I think part of me is probably thinking to themselves, we could even get him for a bit cheaper. You know, he's not playing really well right now. There's not loads of interest in him. Like, what other club have been linked to him apart from Manchester United right now, currently? Brighton might not be able to hold out on 100 million if he doesn't have the best season. And that's a weird, twisted way to think about it, because surely United will want him in his best possible form if we do sign him, and want him to be playing really well. But if that does happen, and if he had the same year that he had last year, I think there'd be multiple top clubs queuing up for him, which would put Manchester United in a bit of a more difficult position. And I also think the price would be absolutely nowhere under 100 million, because Brighton will hold firm on that. They did it with Caicedo and they got the money. They usually always get the money. But if he keeps going on the way he is, up and down, I don't think Brighton can demand 100 mil, and I don't think there'll be a massive queue. So United might be thinking about it. Let's just get him in, and we can get him back to how he was. So we can get him to where he was last season and some. They might be thinking about it like that. It's a risky game to play, though. A really risky game to play. The good thing is, though, is if we do decide to pursue it, the groundwork is there. Say if Belabor, and it's quite clever from United, because if Belabor suddenly turns back into what he was doing last season and starts absolutely smashing it week in, week out. It's the Belabor show. Everyone's talking about him. Look at how good this kid is for Brighton. He's finally got his form back from last season. He's a star. And other clubs start coming into the forefront and Belabor is a hot topic going into the summer, United can be like, look, we pitched you in the summer. We were ready to buy you then. Even at the start of the season, when you weren't doing that well, we held firm. Our interest was still there. You are still our number one priority. You've always been our number one priority. Through the good and the bad, we are here. We're at the front of the queue and we want you. And that could really persuade a player. You know, even when I was doing poorly at the start of the season, you still wanted me and you still trusted me to come through that process. So football can change very quickly. Belabor has a few good games. And again, everyone's talking about him as being the next best midfielder. So United, quite clever in this. We want you. We want you. We've always wanted you. In the summer, when you go for him, the player will remember that loyalty and the amount that you've wanted him. And they'll remember them conversations from the summer until now. And they'll remember that commitment. And if we're not in as good as a position as another club, he might come to the queue to try and get him. Belabor might remember that from Manchester United and pick us. Also, if he has a poor season, United change their mind, it's no big deal. You've not put pen to paper. You've not signed a contract. You've not gone and paid the money. So you're just keeping the player where you want them. And I think it's quite clever from Manchester United to kind of brief that out there, to be honest with you. But get your votes on the poll. Is Belabor still your first choice midfielder for the summer? He was my first choice. I am with you guys now. 72% are saying no. Because Elliot Anderson is my first choice. I can't ignore him. I cannot ignore Elliot Anderson. I mean, there's no fresh update on Anderson, but I just want to reiterate, like I do on every show, he's my top choice midfielder. So good. Him and Stiller, and I can see a lot of comments saying in Stiller and Anderson, they would be a fantastic pairing to bring in the summer, because Stiller would sort of take over the Bruno Fernandes role and Elliot Anderson would take over the Casemiro role, but he's actually, in my opinion, better on the ball. They would be a great partnership together in the midfield, I think. Stiller, obviously, more possession-based, not exactly like that warrior that's in the middle of the park, but really press-resistant, can read the game really well, brilliant passing. And Anderson has also got really good passing, always looking forward, can contribute in the attacking third, just the way like Casemiro contributes in the attacking third, but he's all over the pitch, tackling, breaking play up, his anticipation is brilliant, he's fantastic, his sense of where the danger's going to be, his footballing intelligence is just top-notch, so anticipation. So them two would be a really, really, really good pair for our midfield, I think. But we could well be in a situation where it is Belabor and Mainoo, or it is Belabor and Stiller, or it is Belabor and someone else, because currently, as per Fabrizio Romano, who is really, really, really read up on this deal and knows a lot about it, I would trust him when it comes to the Belabor deal. He seems to be pushing that. He's still Manchester United's top target. So we've got to prepare ourselves for that. And a lot of people would be absolutely loving that in the summer. So let's see how the rest of the season goes. Hopefully Belabor can pick up some form and we'll see where we're at. But there's a lot of midfield options, which is a positive. In a summer where United will need two or three midfielders, the list is as long as your arm. Belabor, Anderson, Stiller, Wharton, and there's more, which I'm going to bring in now. So that brings me on to my next topic, and that is about Casemiro's replacement. So Manchester United are now on the hunt for a replacement for Casemiro and have identified Real Madrid's Tchouaméni as their preferred option. Casemiro is unlikely to accept Manchester United's offer of a new contract with a drastic salary reduction, and therefore United are in the market accessing the possibilities. So this is coming out from Spanish sources, Defensa Central, and they are saying that Casemiro is unlikely to accept United's offer of a reduced contract on reduced wages, and that they are now prioritising his replacement, with Tchouaméni being on their radar and being a target for them as an option. So I've named all the options we were already looking at. Add Tchouaméni to that list. Where does he rank in them options for me? And it's difficult because I would categorise this into two categories. You've got the potential Bruno replacement and then the potential Casemiro replacement. And this is where I think we're at with our midfield. I think we need two Casemiro replacements because Casemiro is that important, right? And Carlo Ancelotti has been speaking on Casemiro as well in the international break. And he said, Casemiro is the most important player for the team's balance. He's very tactically intelligent. He shows great leadership and he is an important player for us. So he's the Brazilian national coach. Carlo Ancelotti, one of the best managers that I've witnessed in my lifetime. And when he speaks saying that Casemiro is one of the most important players on the pitch, actually he said, is the most important player for the team's balance. I'm going to look at that and I'm going to take that and I'm going to listen to it. And I'm going to trust my gut instinct as well, which I've been talking about for the last few weeks, that Casemiro is probably our most important player right now, or one of them. Him and Mbeumo are up there. But Mbeumo is absolutely one of our most important players. But with Casemiro's role, nobody can play it. Nobody in the squad, apart from Casemiro, can play the role the way he does. Nobody. And no one can really do what Brian Mbeumo does, but we've got other options in the front line. Without Casemiro, you just can't hold the midfield together. So that is why I think we need two Casemiro replacements. For Amrun's system specifically, where it is a two-man midfield, your Casemiro-type player in that setup has to be absolutely top quality. He has to be able to do everything. He's got to be press resistant. He's got to be able to take the ball off the back three. He's got to be able to drive up the pitch. He's got to be able to read the game. He's got to be able to intercept and start transitions. He's got to be able to go and mop up danger. He's got to go and cover for Bruno Fernandes if Bruno Fernandes is still playing, because he likes to roam a little bit. You've got to be able to do everything. Also, you'd like a little bit of height in there, considering, you know, the height of our team. You would like a bit of height in there. It's not the be-all and end-all, but you would like it. So I think we need two Casemiro replacements because of how important he is. Ugarte, I'm sorry, right now, I just don't think he's going to be able to be good enough. I hope Ugarte changes my mind from now until the end of the season, but if you want my honest opinion, I don't think Ugarte will be able to start in United's midfield this time next year and do a job of the way that Casemiro does, or better, and we need that level at least. So,
okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Think about the last time you had a cancel subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
And you know what? Chunky Chunks has made a good point. That is an international football, Beth. The Prem is a different beast. Plus, we're only playing one game a week. Yeah. I get that. But Casemiro is able to do what he's doing for United right now because it's one game a week. And even that, it's about a 60, 70-minute job. Next season, if you've got European football, you're not going to be able to rely on him to play every single minute at the top level. You're just not. So that's why we're looking at a Casemiro replacement. Ugarte, I've kind of ruled out for now. Hopefully he changes my mind. And then past that, we've got nobody else. So if Casemiro does go, and there was strong rumours that United were going to offer him a contract on a reduced salary. From this sort, it looks like he's going to reject that, which means he'll probably go. United certainly aren't going to pay him 350 grand a week under Ineos. It's just not going to happen. And we shouldn't do that. As good as Casemiro is for us this season, and as important he is going to be throughout the season, where he's at in his career, there's no way United should be paying him 350 grand a week to be a player that plays 60 minutes a week next season. It just shouldn't be the case. So if he doesn't take the reduced terms, we're going to have to look for a replacement. And I think you need cover. You need one that's going to be an absolute starter, and you need somebody that's really close to being a starter and competing for that spot. So, and then you've also got the Bruno Fernandes role, which is really difficult for United to assess right now, because Bruno has said he will think about his future after the World Cup. Well, that's in July. So United are like, are you staying? Are you going? Should we prepare for you to go? Should we prepare for you to stay? Because Ruben Aaron himself has said if we get European football next season, Bruno Fernandes has got to be prepared for rotation, which makes me think we are going to look at least one Bruno competitor, I would say. And if Bruno leaves, then a Bruno replacement. So you've got the Casemiro role, you've got the Bruno role, and both of them look like, Casemiro I think will go, and I think Bruno's like 50-50 right now. So United are really trying to kind of overhaul that midfield. And the reason why I think we only need one for Bruno is because one Bruno might stay. If he doesn't stay, excellent competition. But if he does go, you have got Kobbie Mainoo, who I think can play that role and has been waiting to play that role. And his competition is Bruno, who never gets dropped. He's the captain and is fit for every single game. So you've got Mainoo and potentially whoever else you bring in for the Bruno role, and even Bruno himself. And then for Casemiro's position, you've got to sign two, because there is nobody else who can do it the way he does. So, I mean, a lot of people saying they agree that you have to play two, but then there's also some people saying Sekou Kone. Now, Sekou Kone was brought into the academy by Christopher Vivelle to potentially be a Casemiro successor. However, do we want to go into next season? By the way, Sekou Kone is 19 years old, and he had an injury as well, which kept him out for a bit. Do you really want to go into next season with European football, with one Casemiro replacement? God forbid they get injured. Let's hope this doesn't happen, but say you go and sign like Elliot Anderson, don't want it to happen at all, and then first game of the season, or first game after the transfer window closes, he tears his ACL or something. God forbid. Don't want it to happen, but it happens in football sometimes. And then you've got to rely on 19-year-old Sekou Kone to, actually he'll be 20 by that stage, 20-year-old Sekou Kone, who hasn't had a minute in the Premier League, to get you through a season. It's too much pressure on a younger player, and there's talks about him going on loan to one of the Ineos clubs as well. I can't remember the name of it. You guys will know. You guys will know it. Put it in the comments. The club that Ineos is involved with, they want to send him out on loan there. So I think Sekou Kone will go on loan. He will develop. And then when he gets to like 21, I see him being integrated into the first team. And you know what? He might not ever get into the first team. I hope he does. But sometimes you bring players in, they go out on loan, they increase the value, and then you sell them on for more money, and then you've made money that goes back into the transfer kitty, because that's what clubs do. Not every single young player that you buy into the academy makes it. I hope he does make it. I know he's got a lot of talent. I know he's really well thought of in the academy, but he might not. So let's not put loads of pressure on Sekou Kone. Let him go out on loan, go and prove himself, then integrate him back in, and you're not in a situation where, when you're playing, hopefully, European football and Premier League football, you're asking an Elliot Anderson or a Belaiba or whatever player we bring in to do 90 minutes, two games a week, never get injured, never be off at the highest possible level. You need two Casemiro replacements. We could do with two Casemiros this year, and we're playing one game a week. I personally think we have dropped points this season because Casemiro's had to come off because of yellow cards or fatigue or injury. So we're playing one game a week and I think we're suffering. Next year, we need two. And I would die on that hill. I really do think we need two Casemiro replacements. So, and on to Tchouaméni, whether I think he'd be a good option. I mean, before Tchouaméni went to Madrid, I really wanted him. And in the early days of his Real Madrid career, I thought he was fantastic, and I think he's had fantastic spells. He's not always been at the level I expected him to be in his whole time at Real Madrid. However, I do think there is a fantastic player in there. He can play multiple positions. He's played for one of, if not the biggest club in the world, so he knows the pressure that is on him. He's 25 years old, which I think is the perfect age to bring a player in. He fits into that Brian Mbeumo, Mateus Cunha category where they've been around the block, they've got some experience, they've played good football, and they're now coming into their prime years where they're going to take it up to the next level. I mean, Tchouaméni, he's won at Real Madrid. I mean, that experience to have it 25 years old would be great to bring into Manchester United. I mean, Casemiro's going, so you bring in another player with a lot of experience of winning big, big trophies, of high-pressure situations, can bring leadership into the dressing room. However, this player is 25. Imagine if we would have bought Casemiro at 25 from Real Madrid. Now, I don't think Tchouaméni is at Casemiro's level when he was 25. However, Tchouaméni absolutely is a good player, and I would welcome him with open arms at Manchester United. I think he could be a fantastic signing. I really do. At his age, he's 25. He's about to go into his prime, and he can play multiple positions, which I know Ruben Amorim really, really likes. I don't think Madrid would sell him to us, but you never know, they might do. They're always in the market for new up-and-coming players. He has had a few, I think, foot injuries. Are they foot injuries? Which maybe are a slight concern, but we seem to have got injuries under control at Manchester United really well. When we're in European football, that might change potentially. One game a week certainly does help. But I think for where Tchouaméni's at in his career, I would love to take that chance and bring him in. I think he offers prime age, going into the best years of his career with tons of experience and trophies behind him. I think that would suit this Manchester United squad right now. The only thing is the injury situation, which a few of you have brought up in the comments as well, which I'd have to look into in more detail. I'm just going to get up his injury history and we can maybe circle back to it once I've got through everything else in the show. So let me bring it up. Transfer Market. Or maybe I should just do it now. Injury history. So from where does it go? So let's say from 2023 to 2024, he had a fatigue fracture, which kept him out for 48 days. Not great. 23-24, foot injury, 22 days. It was foot, I was right. 24-25, foot injury, 15 days. 24-25, ankle sprain, 27 days. And then currently, in 2025, he is got a hamstring injury. So quite a few games missed there in the last few years, but mainly, hamstring can happen to anyone really, as long as it's just a strain. It's not something you should worry about too much. If it was a big hamstring injury, then I would say avoid. Once that hamstring fully goes, it's really, really hard to kind of bounce back from that without getting injured again on a consistent basis. But the foot injury, ankle sprain is a little bit of a concern. And that's why the comments are here. The community has brought that up. So he does fall into that injury prone category. See, I was just straight off the bat, I was there for Tchouaméni, like, because of everything everything can offer. But now the community's brought up that reoccurring injury, especially in the foot, that's worrying. So I would maybe, you know, put him further down the list. I mean, if people want to comment their list of midfielders, I would love to see what your list is from top to bottom. You know, does it go Anderson, then Wharton? Still is a little bit different for me. Still, it does move more into that Bruno Fernandes category of type of player, but it's still a really good option. But let's throw him in there. If you could rank from, you know, Anderson, Stiller, Baliba, Tchouaméni, add him into the list, Wharton, how would you rank it? Justin Law Lloyd says, if the only way to get rid of the deadwood but another year out of Europe, would you do it? I would in a heartbeat. Sure, club over country, mate. No, I want to watch us play European football. I'm absolutely, honestly, I feel like...
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This season, as much as I get so excited for the Premier League game, that drag between the Premier League game to the next Premier League game, because we don't have European football, I just love watching United play football. If we were playing a friendly in Saudi, I'd be there tuned in from minute one. You know, even before I was on the United stand, I used to get up at whatever time to watch the US tour. Pre-season didn't mean anything. I just love watching United play. So, no, I wouldn't, because I miss United playing as much football as he did. So I wouldn't do that. Also, this narrative about Luke Shaw. Yes, it was really frustrating. He didn't play for United and went and got injured for England. But he does not just get himself fit if England are playing in a major tournament. That doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Because one, he would have been found out by now at Manchester United by the medical team. And for number two, if his plan was to stay injured all season long for United and then suddenly be back fit for England, do you not think he would have been back fit for United maybe 2 weeks before the end of the season, 3 weeks before the end of the season? So he could have, you know, got minutes in his legs, got match sharp, been ready for the first England game, because Gareth Southgate knew he was taking him anyway. They'd have them conversations. Or would you think he would have not even played the group stages, I think he played the semi-final half injured, and then played the final and got injured again because he wasn't quite ready? That bit I disagree with. Yes, okay, he did risk it. He risked it of the potential of playing in a game where England could have won a major trophy. He did risk it. However, he did not fake injury all season just to be fit for England. He shouldn't have probably played for England, because if he was doing that, he would have played for England all throughout the groups, all throughout the semi-finals. He got back fit for the semi-final, and I don't even think he played the full game, and he played the final. And yeah, he got injured, and it was a detriment to Manchester United, which is so frustrating for us. But I ask you this question. If you had this opportunity to play in a World Cup or Euros final, and maybe you could feel a slight tweak, but you think you could do it, would you do it? Would you do it? I'm not excusing him, but he didn't get himself fit just to play for England. It might have been a motivation, but there was no conspiracy behind that. I don't even think he's going to go to England for the World Cup, is he? Thomas Tuchel's not picked him. By the way, if I was England manager, I would pick him because he's that good and he can play multiple positions. I'm quite happy Tuchel isn't picking him because it means he stays fit for United and we need him fit for United. I don't even think Tuchel's going to pick him. I don't think he's on his radar and he's still fit week in, week out. So I think some people are a bit harsh on Luke Shaw. I tell you something, if Luke Shaw would have gone and trained with England instead of training with United this week, people would have absolutely rinsed him. But Lisandro Martinez has been out for how many months, feels like a year now, nearly a year. He's gone training with Argentina and nobody's bothered. I'm not even bothered. I'm genuinely not. If he's doing intense training, if he doesn't get injured and it makes him more match fit, it's fine by me. But if there's anything in that that could make him delay his return or set him back, then I would be against it. But if United's medical team have signed it off, right, okay. But I'm just saying there is double standards in the fan base sometimes. But on that note, Tom Grant says, hi, Beth. I'm excited to get Martinez back this week. Durand says, hi, Beth. What do you think about the rumours that Vitek can be number two to Lammens next season to be our goalkeeper's options? Vitek is doing a great job now. I do sometimes get concerned when you've got two keepers of very similar levels competing with each other to be the number one goalkeeper. I think you do need a number one and a number two. Personally, I think that you need someone to know they've got the faith of being the number one and know you're the number two, you'll step in when we need you, thank you very much. Sometimes when two people are competing, it puts more pressure on you and you don't get the best out of them. It only when it comes to a goalkeeper. Every other position on the pitch, absolutely there should be competition, but for a goalkeeper, I think you need the trust of your manager to be number one for a sustained period of time. Of course, if you're doing an Onana, and if you're basically chucking the ball in the back of your own net, you're going to get taken out of goal. But Vitek is doing really well. I wanted to bring him back before we even got Sonny Lamans in. I was thinking Vitek was on the radar to someone we could use. I would absolutely be open to exploring it. Let's see how Sonny Lamans does. If Sonny Lamans absolutely solidifies himself as number one between now and the end of the season, I think Vitek could struggle getting in. Let's see how he does, but he's definitely an option. And I think he's always been ignored. It's whether Vitek would want to be a number two for the time being. Do you remember, like, how good was Romero as a number two? Like, that's the number two you want, but it's so hard to come by these days because, you know, everyone wants to play, which is understandable. If I was a keeper, I'd want to play. If I was a keeper, I'd rather play for a team that's maybe not as competitive, but I'm playing week in, week out. Unless it was United, and then maybe I'd consider it. Tell you what, towards the end of my career, I'd absolutely love Tom Heaton's job. Tom Heaton, I would love it. And he's earned the right, by the way. He's had a good career, Tom Heaton. But I'd love that job. Senior leadership team, basically like a manager in the dressing room. You know, being in and around it all, but, you know, there's not really too much pressure on you. It's not as if he's not played the game. He's played the game. He's gone and he's earned his respect. He's gone out there. He's played in good competitions. He's played Premier League football. What a job, eh? What a job. Anyway, last things I want to get into. There's so much more to talk about. We might have to speak about some of it on the 2 p.m. show, everyone, because there's that much. This is coming out about Joshua Zirkzee. AS Roma are now in discussions with Manchester United over a January deal for Joshua Zirkzee, with the window edging ever closer. The deal will include an option to buy for the Netherlands forward at the end of the 25-26 season for €35 million, which works out at £31 million. Now, I find this extremely interesting. The reason being is, so far on the Joshua Zirkzee transfer saga for the January window, we've got a situation where Joshua Zirkzee didn't want to leave United, but he wants to play minutes because he wants to get into the World Cup squad. Joshua Zirkzee then becomes increasingly frustrated with his amount of game time. He's pushing for a move in January. He wants ideally a loan, but he would do a permanent just because he wants to play football. And Man United have said, absolutely not, you're not going anywhere. For one, we still don't know how serious Sesko's injury is. That could be a factor in not letting Joshua Zirkzee go. And for two, we want to have a bit of depth. What happens if Cunha gets injured? What happens if Sesko gets injured for a long period of time? We want to have a striker / number 10 there to use. So United's point of view, and this was reported back end of last week from Samuel Luckhurst, actually, that Manchester United have said there is no way, they've said to Joshua Zirkzee, there is no way that you are leaving on loan in January. It's just not happening. And Joshua Zirkzee wants a loan because he wants to fight for his spot, but he wants to play football to get into the Netherlands squad, which I think he's got a big task on his hands, to be honest, but it's not against the odds. So that is where we're at now. Then this news comes out, and it's an interesting point because it's not a straight loan, is it? And this might tempt Manchester United. The deal will include an option to buy €35 million, which works out at £31 million. I think if you said to Manchester United, you could get £31 million back for Joshua Zirkzee, they'd probably take it. They'd probably take it. I mean, how much did United pay for Joshua Zirkzee? Let me just go and have a look. Joshua Zirkzee transfer fee to United. I think it was around 30 odd million. Okay, so they paid 36.5 million for Joshua Zirkzee. Would they take 31 mil? Maybe they would. If it was absolutely certain it was coming in and it was paid in the right way, maybe they would. So it could maybe tempt United a little bit. But I think Anthony in the chat has made a really good opinion. Option to buy means nothing. It's not an obligation. With Rasmus Højlund's, like, they are going to trigger that. I think it was obligation to buy if they get Champions League football, European football, something like that. There's so many different clauses, but it's basically nailed on that Rasmus is going to have that triggered and he's going to go. This one, I mean, there's not too many details, but option to buy is very tricky depending on how it's worked. Like, for example, Barcelona do not have to buy Rashford. And with...
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores. Think about the last time you had a cancel subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
With Joshua Zirkzee, I suspect this deal with AS Roma is not the obligation of you have to pay £31 million. So I think United will keep Joshua Zirkzee. Also, a lot of people talking about AFCON as well. And with AFCON, I'm dreading it. I'm really dreading it. 21st of December to Sunday the 18th of January. I don't think they'll want to let him leave because I think they'll want to play him throughout that competition, especially, you know, with Ahmad playing there, with Mazraoui potentially playing there. I know he's not a forward player. And Mbeumo as well. Like, we've got players that will be going to AFCON that we will really, really miss. So I don't think we'll let Joshua Zirkzee go, but it's something that keeps coming up and Roma absolutely are interested. They've been interested for a long time now. So keep an eye on it. Would you want Joshua Zirkzee to stay or would you want to keep him? Let's actually run that poll for the last 5 minutes of the show. Keep Zirkzee, let him go on loan. I want to see what you guys think. I'd keep him. And this is going to be really hypocritical and slash contradictory about what I said about Kobbie Mainoo. The reason I'd keep Zirkzee is because with Mainoo's position, I generally just don't see him getting much game time unless there's a serious injury. With Zirkzee, I actually think there is a really good player in there and he's being overlooked. Sesko isn't absolutely nailed on yet. Who knows what his injury length is like? And Mbeumo's going to be going to AFCON, we don't know how long for. Ahmad's been going to AFCON, we don't know how long for. I think their teams actually do play each other. Ivory Coast and Cameroon play each other. But I would keep Xerxes because I think there's a genuine chance that he could fight his way into being a player that's playing regularly every week in the team, whether that's as a starter or absolutely having minutes off the bench. And I think he can bring something to our team that nobody else can. I think that facilitating number nine could really benefit us in certain games, especially, again, Mount. Mount does that job really well, but Mount's got an injury record that isn't great, so you can't rely on him. And, you know, you've got players that AFCON is going to hit us. I'd keep Xerxes. I would, but let me know. He won't benefit from it, so I feel bad. I feel bad on him because I want him to go out there again and show everyone what he can do, because I genuinely do believe there's a really good player in there with him. And he's still really young as well. Like, I talk about this all the time, right? Joshua Xerxes, I don't think he's got enough time at United. He's 24. He came in, Ten Hag got sacked. Then he worked his way into being one of our most important players back end of last season. I understand we came 15th, but I actually think him being injured probably cost us the Europa League final. Definitely a contributing factor. And then suddenly we're buying a new striker and he's absolutely pushed out in the cold and barely got any time to prove himself. He's had no time to prove himself in a decent team. You know, we've got Cunha, we've got Mbeumo playing, you've got Casemiro and Bruno, who aren't always 10 out of 10, but are settled with each other, and he's barely getting a sniff. I would love to see him get a bit of time in this team. I really would. I'd like to keep him, but let me know your thoughts. Last thing I want to bring in is about... I mean, some of this I am actually going to have to speak about on the 2pm because there's just so much more to get into. But good news, because more news will come out and then we'll have more to talk about and we can keep the conversation going. What should I finish the show on? Keane's, have a little vote in the chat now. Keane's comments on Wharton or the Thomas Frank stuff about him getting the United job before Amorim. I've also got the striker stuff to bring in as well. Got some striker news. Wow. I've just been going on and on and on this morning. Clearly had a lot to speak about. He's honestly, people say the international break, there's not much to talk about, but I actually think there's been quite a lot this international break. And when you're missing football, you find yourself thinking maybe more deeply about the situation and how things are going to improve on that. Savage says, I don't think we'll get a forward in January, so Xerxes is still better than nothing. Right, Roy Keane. We'll finish off with the Roy Keane stuff. So, Roy Keane has said this about Adam Wharton. He said, I do like Adam Wharton. A lot of modern midfielders, their first option seems to be, can I go sideways or backwards? What I like about him, the first option seems to be, can I go... one sec, guys. I've just clicked off. Let me redo that quote. Here we go. Roy Keane and Adam Wharton, just deleted and then I had to undo it, but we're back. Roy Keane's comments on Adam Wharton. I do like Adam Wharton, and what of the modern midfielders, their first option seems to be, can I go sideways or backwards? What I like about him, the first option he seems to look at is, can I pass it forward? And that's a big strength to have. This is where he can mature over the next year or two. If he's playing at the top level, put demands onto people, he's a bit soft there, he needs to shout at players and go, give me the ball. That's what I used to do. I used to fall out with people a lot. Give me the ball, put demands on your teammates. He's still new to it, so I'm not going to be too harsh on him, but as he matures and starts playing more games, he needs to put demands on his teammates. And I think that's a huge, huge compliment from Roy Keane to Adam Wharton, because Roy Keane's basically there saying, look, Adam Wharton, this is what I used to do and I think you should do it as well. You've got a lot going for you, but you need to put a bit more pressure on your teammates, you need to demand the ball more, you need to be a bit more authoritative in the middle of the park, which I see from an outsider looking in as Roy Keane being like, I see a bit of me in you. I see a bit of myself in you. And that's a really, really big compliment from Roy Keane. I'm not seeing Adam Wharton as the next Roy Keane. I do think they have very different personalities. But for Roy Keane to sound out Adam Wharton, give him that advice and kind of speak about himself when speaking about Adam Wharton in his days as a player, I think is a huge, huge compliment. And Roy Keane seeing that and calling that out, I think it puts him in good stead. Pundits don't always get everything right, but Roy Keane knows a good midfielder. Roy Keane knows a good midfielder, he knows good characteristics, and I do agree with him on what he said there about Adam Wharton. I do think he needs to be a bit more authoritative. He seems like a very shy character, but wow, can he play football. It's like having a Spanish midfielder on the pitch. You know, he's got that technique like that Spanish players do, like tiki-taka over and over. He can get out of tight situations. He's always looking forward. He can thread passes through the eye of the needle. And his positional discipline is really good as well. He's great taking the ball off the back four, the back three, and getting you from the defensive third to the attacking third. I really like him. And I think Roy Keane paying respect to him like that shows what a top, top talent he is. What I would also say is Elliot Anderson has that about him as well. When he says a lot of modern midfielders, their first option seems to be, can I go sideways? Can I go backwards? That does seem to happen. But Adam Wharton and Elliot Anderson both tick this box. They both look forward. Now, with pressure at Manchester United, you might hesitate a little bit more to do that. You don't want to play a risky pass and then be counter-attacked on and everyone's looking back at you. But I like that these two players both have the confidence right now to play their game. And I would, if I was Amorim and they were coming into Manchester United, whichever one we go for, if any of them, I would be saying, that's why we've bought you. Don't let the pressure of Old Trafford, don't let the pressure of the shirt change your game. Keep playing forward. Obviously, don't be playing a risky pass every single time and getting us into trouble, but they are so good at finding the shirt that they're playing in. Say if they're playing in a red shirt, they'd be so good at finding a red shirt. They're always looking forward. They're always breaking the lines. And for a midfielder, especially a deep-line midfielder, it's quite a rare strength to have in modern football, like Roy Keane says. And that's why both of them are really, really high on our radar, I feel like, because United needs a player like that. Casemiro does it. He doesn't always do it 100%, but they do it more accurately. Get the ball, give it forward, quickly break the lines and it really helps get your team up the pitch and create openings in the space. So I like that Roy Keane's kind of sounded that out for Manchester United, and I have to say I do agree with him. Rob McCormack says people didn't want to believe we interviewed Southgate. Yeah, Southgate was absolutely high on our agenda, and if anything happened to Ruben Amorim, apparently it was still high on the agenda. So we didn't make that up. As much as people wanted to say the United Stand made that up, we absolutely didn't. He was one of the names being scouted out, but we've got Ruben Amorim now, and I hope Ruben Amorim can stay here for, I hope he stays here for 20 years. I hope we're that successful, if we're successful. So let's build with him. There was some rumours about Thomas Frank that I might speak about on the 2pm, but yeah, we did speak to Southgate for sure. I don't know if we actually fully interviewed him, but we definitely spoke to him. Justin Jaw, thank you for your super chat. Thank you everyone for getting your comments involved. Just on the Xerxes, go out on loan, keep or loan. Let's see what you guys have said there. 54% of you said loan. So it's interesting actually. My earpiece telling me when I'm going live or not is falling out. It's interesting actually, because on the Kobbie Mainoo one, sorry, not on the Kobbie Mainoo one. On the Belieber one, we all kind of agreed. But on this one, I said I'd keep him selfishly, 46%. 54% of you would let him go out on loan. So, you know, that is a community. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we disagree. And some of you want to see him go and play football. Fair enough. I can understand that point of view. Xerxes would probably be quite happy with that vote. Doobie Guy says Southgate was the oblivious choice for United. Terrible and wrong choice, but that's the one that our board would always make. But we didn't make that choice, and I'm glad we didn't. Ruben Amorim's personality is just so different to Southgate's, and Ruben Amorim's personality is what makes me believe in him. And I can't wait. We've got something so exciting coming soon, and I don't know how much I can give away, but there's questions about Amorim in that, and everyone has to answer really truthfully, and I can't wait for you all to see it. It's going to be cracking. It really is. And a couple of people mentioning Mark Gahey. I mean, that's another one that we could talk about as well. Going on a free transfer, United need to be in there when we're looking at a left-sided centre-back, but that's for another day. Look, so much to talk about. Smash a like on the video if you've not already. I just want to say, once again, a big thank you for everyone being involved with the charity stream over the weekend that Golby did. Fantastic. Hope he has a brilliant time in New York City. So he will pop in here and there, but he's having a little break and he's very well deserved. And as well, make sure Christmas jumpers, link in the description. Goldbridge is doing his own Home Alone style in New York. We can get Christmas here on the United Stand with your Christmas jumper. Shop the link in the description. Tell you what, I'd left my Christmas jumper in the studio. When I opened my door this morning to leave the house and get in the car, I wish I had it on. because it was freezing and it's so nice and warm and we can all be part of that community together again. Excited for Christmas. Can't wait to actually put the decorations up. When do you think we should get the decorations up in the studio? Let me know because we need to get the Christmas decks up and I can't wait to Christmasify the whole place. But thank you everyone. 1st of December says admin. I think before then. Maybe we'll run a poll on it on the afternoon show. Thank you. Stay tuned. More news will be out on the 2 p.m. show and I'll see you on the next one. Have a good Monday.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores. You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.